And even if you don't feel like it, you ought to give him a praise offering. You may not want to do it, but you ought to give him a praise offering. You may not even really know why you're doing it, but you ought to give him a praise offering. For the Lord is worthy to be praised. All praise. All praise. All praise belongs to our God. God bless your choir. What a wonderful, wonderful rendition of a classic in the Judeo-Christian church. And we thank the Lord for the gift that is our choir. Won't you stand to your feet and stand with me and turn in your Bibles, I should say, with me to the book of 2 John. And because 2 John is really only one chapter, you could say turn to the chapter of 2 John. But it really is one of the smallest books in the New Testament, in the Bible itself, only 13 verses long. There is no second chapter of 2 John. There is no second chapter of the 3rd John. And there is no second chapter of Jude. And so these four books, four small but powerful books that you find at the back of your New Testament scripture, I invite your attention there and we shall see what the Lord has for us on this Lord's Day in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. We've located the text.
Amen.
Amen. Again, if you are in second chapter of 2 John, you're in the wrong book. There's only one chapter. Chapter 1, starting at verse number 1, the Bible reads as follows. The elder to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we all walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. We're going to reread verse 8. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon, A Special Letter to a Special Lady. A Special Letter to a Special Lady. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, on this Lord's Day, I ask that you will continue to manifest your glory in this place. We thank you, Lord, for the saints who have gathered here today on Mother's Day, the second Sunday in May. We thank you, Lord, for everyone who stands in the shoes of a mother, giving maternal love, affection, and nurture. And now, dear Lord, we have lifted praises unto thy name. We have prayed fervent, effectual prayers unto thy name. We ask that you would be with us as we exegete, preach, and teach your word. I pray that your word would not return void, but that it may accomplish that which you intended. Minds be illuminated, hearts be encouraged, and ultimately, O God, may somebody's soul be convicted. Draw somebody from where they are to where you want them to be. And God, in the end of the day, the end of the hour, we will give your name the glory, the praise, and the honor, for you alone are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' sweet and strong name, we do pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. And God keep you is our prayer. Ushers, you may be seated as well. On this Mother's Day, where we celebrate the gift of maternity, the Lord led me to this second book of John because of the word lady that is stated twice in the text. Verse number one, you'll see John writes to the elect lady. In verse number five, John writes, and now I plead with you, lady. As I thought about the question, the obvious question is, who is the lady about whom and or to whom John writes? In order to understand that exegetical question, one must really go back and ask the very simple question, who is John, the author of this epistle? And if you come to know John as I've come to know him, you know that John was always a part of a special threesome group that Jesus always would call out. A troika, they called it in Russian language, a gathering of the three. And for whatever reason, Jesus took three out of the 12. He chose 12 out of the hundreds he could have chosen. But out of the 12, he chose these three to give them special access, special training, special entree, whatever one might want to call it, to give them some special glimpse of relationship to him. These three were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, as well as Peter, or whom we've come to know as Petros. James and John, John who writes the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of Revelation, 5 of the 27 books are written by this great man of God who was part of the three who was with Jesus on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. John was with Jesus and Peter and his brother James in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was John, James, and Peter who once they came down that Jesus cast out demons and said, why can't we do what you just did? And Jesus said, this kind only come out through prayer and fasting. It's interesting to me that John, not only this same John is the one to whom Jesus gave his mother when he was hanging on the cross, one of the famous last words of Jesus that said, man, son, behold your mother, and mother, behold your son. It was John whom Jesus called the disciple whom I love. Now, whatever reason that John went on to write these powerful books of the Bible, there is some classic lines of continuity that one finds between John's writings. And one of them is John's repeated use of the word love and repeated use of the word truth. All you've got to do is just think of one of the great texts of all of Judeo-Christianity that we learn in Sunday school, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John writes those words and echoes them that Jesus said more than Matthew, Luke, and Mark. It was John who in John 13 heard Jesus say, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. It is John who, for whatever reason, hones in on this word love, but he also hones in on the word truth. And so John says in John 4:24 that God is spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is John who quotes Jesus and says, he whom the Son has set free is free Indeed. It is John that talks about this notion of love and freedom and truth in a way like none other. So I'm not surprised that when John mentions in verse number 3, grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. It is a classic continuity in John's writing. And so John mentions three words that I want to leave with you, or three hooks, if I would, that I would hang on this sermon. Three words. One is the word lady that we find in the text. Another is the word love that I've just mentioned to you a moment ago. And the third is this word look, this word of looking and be mindful of what's around you. And after we have exegeted this text for these first 8 verses, I think these three words would make more sense. And so looking at the first word, lady, John says, to the elect lady. And why does John use that language? When I thought about the word lady, my mind went to some classic song that many of us often sing in pop culture. We remember Kenny Rogers' famous song, Lady. We remember Freddie Jackson's famous song, You Are My Lady. Some of y'all remember Duke Ellington's famous song, Sophisticated Lady. Some of y'all might go back to Lionel Richie and the Commodores, You're Once, Twice, some of y'all may go back to Chris DeBerg's Lady in Red song, or Tom Jones' She's a Lady, or Babyface Lady Lady, but none of that has nothing to do with Jesus. Now that I've got your attention about the word lady, John writes about this special lady. And I just need you to understand deep in theological that really what John is doing is using a double entendre to talk about a lady that we might think of in the flesh, but in reality who he's talking about is the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is often referred to as the bride of Christ. And so when John writes to the special lady, it is not a lady whose name we do not know. It is not a lady who is yet to be defined. It is a lady that is really representative and illustrative and demonstrative of the church of Jesus Christ being the bride of Jesus Christ. And so the church is the special lady because Jesus is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. We who are believers are the offspring of Jesus and his bride. We, the believers, are the children. The church is the special lady, and John has something to say to his special lady. And yet if I were to allow my mind to wander, I think we can go down parallel tracks where I can talk not only to the special ladies in the flesh who are here today, but I can also be true to the text and reference the church of Jesus Christ as John's special lady that is referenced in the text. So when John writes to the special lady in verse number 1, and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us, and we will be with us forever. John makes a statement that one way I know who this special lady is by the children who are her offspring. And if the truth is in her children, then I know not only her, her children, but I know her as well. Well, if I could say that in this sanctuary are some special ladies, and I'm talking about the mothers who are sitting here in the sanctuary today, if I can say to you and your children, thank God for you, special lady. You are God's special woman whom God has used to bring other folk into this world. And if nobody else calls you special, I just want to be the one to call you special today. Because the word elect literally means special. The word elect literally means set aside. The word elect literally means one who is set apart. And the ladies I'm looking at today are special. They are set aside. They are set apart because God has used you to give birth to others and to bring forth life into this world and to speak truth into that child that they may have an understanding of who God is and what God requires of them. I thank God for you special ladies. Give the special ladies a big hand today, for they're not here by coincidence nor accident. For you are special. And you may not always think you're special, ladies, but you are. Because you have been given a gift that man has not been given. Man does not know what it means to bring forth life into the world. Man does not understand the nutrients that flow from the mother through the umbilical cord into the child. Man does not understand the labor it takes to bring a child into this world. Man does not understand how you can speak life into the baby in vitro while the baby is growing inside of your womb and while your husband or spouse is off taking care of the job or doing whatever. You lady who was a worker extraordinaire, an educated woman in her own right, but at some point, if God gives this gift to bring forth life, you've got to take a step back and give your rest so that you can be with your baby that's growing inside of your womb. That's special, mothers. And you who have been given this special gift, I need you to understand that what part of what we recognize as being a special lady is a lady that speaks life and the truth into her child. And so when fathers are not able to be there and it's just you and your baby, I want you to rub your stomach and just speak life into your child. And say, Father, I plead the blood of Christ over my child. Father, I put the word of God into my child. Father, I'm speaking the words over my child. Words that say you are more than a conqueror. Words that says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Words that say that God will lift you up. Words that says press on towards the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Has there been a mother here who's spoken those kind of words? Those words of truth into their lives of their babies. And I thank God for you, mother, because you, that makes you a special mother, a special lady in the name of Jesus. Now, understand, not every mother, not every woman is going to be able to bring forth life into this world. And so I respect that, but that does not stop you from speaking life into a child that may not or may be yours, but you are raising them and helping them to be all God wants you to be. Here's the quintessential sign of a special lady who speaks life into her child. She presents them with truth. Come on, somebody. The truth. And the Bible says in verse number two, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever, that's part of the way I know you are a special lady. What is the role of the church? Now that I can go over here back to John, the role of the church is to speak truth into the lives of the believers who are offsprings. What is the truth? The truth shall set you free. What is the truth? The truth is the word of God. What is the truth? The truth as Jesus Christ came in the flesh through 42 generations born of a virgin girl. What is the truth? The truth is that Jesus hung on a cross, died for your sins, and on the third day rose again from the dead. What is the truth? The truth is that Jesus ascended into heaven on a cloud and is coming back again one day. What is the truth? The truth is that the Jesus defeated the devil and said, devil, it is written, get thee behind me. What is the truth? The truth is that with this power, through prayer and fasting, you can cast out demons. What is the truth? The truth is that if you stand on the promises of God, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. What is the truth? The truth is that that you can know that Jesus is your light and your salvation. Jesus is the strength of your life. Of whom shall you be afraid? What is the truth? The truth is that Jesus says you are going to be more than a conqueror. What is the truth? The truth is that if you meditate on the word of God day and night, you shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that when the bough breaks and the winds blow, you shall not be moved. Does anybody know the truth today? The truth is that God lives and that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I ever could imagine, ask or think. One more thing about the truth. The truth is that when my praises go up, God's blessings come down. What is the truth? He'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it. What is the truth? The truth is that you understand his word. And so therefore, special lady, your job is to impart the truth into your children so that they don't believe a lie. Because how many of you know in certain communities the world is going to tell our children a lie. That they are less than. That they cannot do it. That they will not be able to achieve it. That they can't go to college. That they will not be successful. That everything you see on TV is going to reflect you, and so therefore you're on your way to jail. What you see on television, here on the radio, some of it is a lie. Most of it is a lie. And somebody's got to tell the truth and say, devil, you're a liar. Get thee behind me. I know what the truth is because my mama put the truth inside of my bosom when I was crawling inside of her womb. Special lady, impart the truth to your children that they may grow and be fortified to know who they are and whose they are. The other thing that John speaks about is love. Not just the truth, but he speaks about love. And he says in verse number 4, I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment. I'm happy. Special lady, that I've noticed that your offspring are walking in the truth. But not only do I want them to walk in the truth, I now plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Amen. When I thought about what it means to love one another, my mind goes back to the fact that God is love. My mind goes back to the fact that John 3:16, God so loved the world. My mind goes back to scripture that says, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his brother and his sister. I thought about that for a minute, Brother Eric, and I like you, would lay down my life for my wife. I thought about that, Brother Rob. I'd lay down my life for my children. I thought about it. I'd lay down my wife for my grandmama. But as I thought about it more, I said, maybe there's some folk I really wouldn't lay down my life for. And truth be told, all of us probably would not lay down our lives for everybody that's around us. But that's why my definition of love pales in comparison to God's definition of love. If I had to depend on folk around me to be loved, I would surely not be loved. But I'm so glad today that God loves me better than anybody else can. Anybody glad today when the world doesn't love you? In point of fact, they hate you. That God says, you're my child. You're my daughter. You're my son. I love you in spite of what they say about you. I love you in spite of what they do to you. I love you in spite of how they kick you down. I'm so glad today that God loves me. And I don't necessarily have to depend on somebody else's love. But here's the part of love I really like. If I really understand love, I'm not going to let somebody else drag me down into their pity party. Come on, somebody. Because there's some folk who you don't even know you may have offended,
who are dealing some stuff at you, but you need to understand, as long as you love them, you cannot be responsible for what's going on in their mind. You've got to just say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. Whether you love me or not, the only person you can control is you. How many of you know there's some folk carrying around some stuff for 10 years, 15 years. And the fact of the matter is, you need to understand that as long as you can ask for that forgiveness and let that stuff go and get to a place where you can love, you cannot mess with somebody else's mind. You gotta just let them deal with what they gotta deal with. But you can rest assured, I got peace in my spirit. I've got love in my spirit. I've got love in my joy in my spirit. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Help our children to understand to love and not hate. Because love will set you free. But hatred and anger and resentment and vengeance will bottle you up where you cannot be all who God wants you to be. And so John says, special lady, if you're going to do two things for your children, help them to understand the truth and help them to know how to love. And I would not just say that in the biological families of today. I would say that in the church of Jesus Christ, that if the church of Jesus Christ can do anything, we've got to give the truth to the children of God, and we've got to help the people know how to love. Because when you can be free to love, the devil can't mess with you like he want to mess with you. When you can be free to praise God, the devil can't hold you down like he wants to. When you can be free to give God praise, the devil can't move you any way he wants to. And I need somebody to say, I don't care what you've been through. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what they did to you. I don't care they talked about you. I need you to stand on God's love. Because the one that can stand on God's love, God will reach way down, pick you up, turn you around, put your feet on solid ground. God will fight your battle. God will move your mountain. God will open your door. God will be the help in time of need. Come on, somebody. John says, two things I need you to understand, special lady. Teach your children the truth. Teach them how to love.
Amen.
As I go to my seat, I'm going to give you one more thing I think is in the text. And the text is to look out for deceivers. Special lady, if you can do one more thing for your children, teach them to look out for deceivers. Special lady, mamas and daddies, I'm speaking to the mamas today. Verse number 7 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ. Before I get to the theological implications of what John is saying, let me stay with the human implications of the text, or my interpretation of the text about the special lady. See, there will come a time when children will be approached by deceivers. And you've got to let them understand that what I've poured into you, the truth and the love of God, will help you discern who the deceivers are. Come on, somebody. Let me just say it another way. We need to teach our children to discern and identify who the fakers are. We need to teach our children to discern and identify who the underminers are. We need to teach our children to discern and identify who the backstabbers are. We need to teach our children to discern and identify who the stumblers are. We need to teach our children to discern and to understand. Let me say it this way. My marriage is 10. I'm waiting for the day when that little boy knocks on my door and says, can I talk to you, Maris? I'm waiting for the day when she starts getting phone calls
and say, this is so-and-so, and can I talk to him, man? I'm going to say, come here, young man. Let's go down to my basement. And I'm going to say, what is your intentions with my daughter? And he's going to say, well, sir, I'm only 13 years old. I really don't have too many intentions. I'm going to say, well, keep it that way. Because how many of you know there's some deceivers who are waiting to take advantage of your daughters, and unless you teach your daughters how to identify who the deceivers are, then she may be deceived and taken advantage of. You're not getting the message, are you? You better teach your sons, mothers, how to identify the certain kind of lady that you would have him to be with and who you would have him not to be with. Because if she don't know how to get a prayer through, if she don't know anything about fasting, if she don't know anything about church, if she don't know anything about praising the Lord, you might just want to tell your son, son, stay away from her.
Now, we're talking about in the flesh. But how many know this is a supply and demand thing? We need to teach. There's always going to be a demand. Because the devil's never going to stop being on his job. He's always going to start seek who he can kill, steal, and destroy. But we got to help our children and say, I don't care what comes to you. Just because it glitters don't mean it's gold. Just because it's green don't mean it's good for you. Just because he's tall, dark, and handsome don't mean you got to go with him. Just because she has a shape like an hourglass don't mean you need to hang with her. You need to be discerning. I didn't say judging. I said discerning. There's a difference between judging. Judging is when you make a determination and you pronounce it on somebody. Discernment is when you have to open up your mouth, but you made a determination and your actions speak louder than your words. Mm-mm-mm. My mama told me to stay away from boys like you. Mm-mm-mm. My daddy told me to stay away from girls like you. The deceivers. Now, beloved, what does that mean in the theological context? That means that there's going to be some folk who come to the believers, but really they're trying to be a deceiver. Come on, somebody. Because a deceiver doesn't want the believer to be everything that God wants him or her to be. And so you've got to understand that the deceivers are always going to come, but the believers got to be stayed up and fasted up. The believers got to be praised up and prayed up. The believers got to be read up and meditated up. The believers got to be standing on the word of God so that when the deceiver comes, you can judge them by the word and say, there's something that doesn't add up here. Come on, somebody. And here's my point. As John says this, he says in verse number 7, and don't miss this now, he says in verse number 7 and verse number 8, he says in verse number 8, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Really what John is saying is that you don't have to be perfect, but don't give up the ground that God has given to you. One of the famous hymns or songs of the church, the black church, is that I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me now. What John is saying is that don't give up what you work for. In my family, I gotta tell the devil, I prayed over this child for far too long. I'm not gonna let you have my child. Devil, I fasted over my husband far too long. I'm not gonna let you have my husband. I need some husband to say, devil, I prayed over my wife in the midnight hour. I need you to get your hands off of my wife. We've come
come too far. The Lord has been too good. He's opened too many doors. He's built too many bridges. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? If the Lord has brought you a mighty long way, don't let the devil rob you of your joy. I need somebody that's willing to fight for what God has given you. I need somebody that's willing to fight against what the devil is trying to do. I need somebody who's willing to fight and say, devil, get behind me. God's brought me too far. I got a blessing waiting for me. Devil, leave me alone. Get your hands off my job. Get your hands off my family. Get your hands off my church. Do I have a witness here today that you can speak to the devil with the authority that God has given you? The Bible says in 1 John, verse number 8, there's some things you've worked for. Don't give them up too easily. Amen. Part of that, amen, it says, I need you to go on and get your full reward. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let anybody stand in my way of getting my blessing that God has ordained for my life. I don't know about you, but when I think about the fullness of the reward, I want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and I want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did not give up the fight. You did not give it up too easily. You stood your ground. You fought against the enemy. You rebuked the devil. And now I've got a crown waiting for you. Does anybody want a crown? And now I've got a robe waiting for you. Does anybody want a robe? And now I've got a new body waiting for you. Because the Bible says that when this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, I've got a new building, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I don't know about you, but I want to get my new body because I want to walk around heaven all day, every day, Sunday, Sabbath shall know no end. Does anybody want to see God? Does anybody want to see him face to face for yourself? Tell the devil, get thee behind me. The deceivers will come. The deceivers will come in the flesh. And the deceivers will come in the spirit. And whether in the spirit or in the flesh, I need the special ladies, especially the mothers, to impart into the children the truth, the love, and the ability to discern between what is godly and what is not. John says in the text, Church of Jesus Christ, you are the special lady. The believers are the offspring. And when the deceiver comes, I need you to help the children to not give up so easily. You know, one of the things that gets my goat is when a Christian for whom God has done so many miracles are willing to give up so easily. I tell folk in the church, there's going to be some folk to get on your last nerve. But understand, they're not God. There's going to be some folk who get upset because you sit in their so-called seat. But nobody has a monopoly on the Church of Jesus Christ. There's going to be some folk who act out of their mind. But I need you to know, as long as you know who you are, and as long as you know whose you are, don't let the devil try to rob you of your joy. How many of you know the devil will come up in the church? The devil will sit on the front pew. The you on the pulpit, in the choir loft, on the deacon's row, on the usher door, but you need to be able to discern. Whatever your problem is today, that's not my problem. And because you don't want to praise him, don't stop me from praising him. Because the Lord has been too good to me. I've got a reason to praise him. Does anybody have a reason? Does anybody have a reason to lift up holy hands? Does anybody have a reason to give God some joy? Does anybody have a reason to say hallelujah? Glory to you. Does anybody have a reason to say, for Christ I live, for Christ I die? If you don't want to praise him, get out of my way. Don't stop me from getting my praise on. Our God has been too good to me. Does anybody have an ability to give God just a little bit of praise? Can anybody? Yes, God. Do what David did. And say, I bless the Lord at all times. Ultimately, it's a spiritual fight, beloved. But believe me, you're going to be tested. There's going to be some deceivers that come your way. And you have a lot of names for deceivers. Backbiters, haters, instigators, naysayers, doubters. A lot of deceivers. But you need to be able to discern. Look. And don't let the deceiver get you off your game. Because if you know who Jesus is, go back to what John said in the beginning. Grace, peace. Put verse number 3 up there. Grace, mercy, and peace be from God our Father. I want to have grace. I want to have mercy. And I want to have peace in every situation I have. I don't care what they say. Grace, peace, and mercy. Say it with me. On your job, grace, peace, and mercy. In your church, grace, peace, and mercy. In your family, grace, peace, and mercy. And in your spirit, grace, peace, and mercy. In the name of Jesus. I pray that we understand John's words to the special lady. Not only on Mother's Day, the women who have the ability to pour into your children, but also the Church of Jesus Christ, who is God's special lady, and we, the believers, God's special children. Let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Give God a praise offering in this place. As we get ready to invite believers to, or invite folk to come to believe in the Lord Jesus, I invite deacons and deaconess and clergy to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship with me. I don't know exactly who you are and what you've been through, but I want to offer you the gift of eternal life. God is calling somebody to make a decision today. And bless the children, right? Bless our children. If you're here and you've never made that decision for Christ, I want to invite you today to come out of your seat and give us your hand and give God your heart. You can join the church, but a membership in the church doesn't save you. Relationship with God is what saves you. But once you get saved, we believe God wants you in a church.
And so I want to invite you to come, whomever you are. The choir's going to sing. Go ahead and sing, choir. As they sing, invitation to join the church. But more importantly, number two, for you to come and give your life to Christ. Is there one? Is there some?